one hand, sometimes it is scary because you realize things, right? You realize things that you could do better, or things that would be better for you, your heart, body, soul, nutrition, everything, everything. So, you know, I know that you're going to be doing a lot more of the talking today because you know so much about different types of sensitivities. We decided that we would talk about the conceptual sensitive, am I saying it correctly? Conceptual.
Yeah.
And the perfectionist.
The structural.
Structural and
because there's perfectionists both in conceptual and structural. And yes, I do have a lot of information about sensitivity, and I also appreciate your input, because every time I share with a sensitive what I call an ultra sensitive like you or me, or not everybody is an ultra sensitive, because different individuals live or experience in different levels of sensitivity. There's the sensitive that is what I call a classic sensitive, and that's a sensitive person that lives their daily life, loves the people within their group and family and friends, and has their concerns about their daily life, their profession, the people in their life, and not too concerned are overly concerned about the worldwide unless it affects them in some way. Then there's the ultra sensitive person, and that's the person that is 5 times more sensitive and receives 5 times more information with their sensitivity than the classic sensitive person. And then there's the insensitive person, and that's usually a person that has been through trauma or blocked in some way, and going through the trauma, the grief, or the experience, and cannot take in a lot of information from other people because they're in their own trauma, they're in their own pain. So those are what I feel are the three different places as human beings we hold sensitivity. The ideal is to be able to be flexible and be in any one of those three at any time.
Can you share with us what is an ultra sensitive? I know that you went through the different ones, but let's say just that kind of the definition of what you would say that is, because it's, I think people like to know, like, am I, or which one am I, to try to figure out which one they are, and that would help them in their spiritual journey.
Yeah. An ultra sensitive is a person that has gone through a trauma and has opened up their sensitivity, opened up their ultra sensitivity side, and so they live in that ultra sensitivity. And being an ultra sensitive means, as I said, it means that you're receiving more information from each other, from yourself, from the world at large. So it means that your sensitivity is wide open. And as you learn, as an ultrasensitive learns how to function in their ultrasensitivity, it's an easier way to live. It's because you have more intuitive information coming in, you have more emotional information coming in, and once you learn to work with all the information that comes in, then being an ultrasensitive is a wonderful thing. But many times I meet ultrasensitives when their sensitivity is just blown wide open through some kind of trauma. And the difference between an ultrasensitive and an insensitive is that because of the trauma, the insensitive has shut down their sensitivity. And because of trauma, the ultrasensitive person has their sensitivity has been blown wide open.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. Yeah, that makes sense to me, especially because I think when I came to you, when we got connected, I was open, but I think you also helped me open more. So
yeah.
That, I think, you know, that was just part of my path that we were supposed to meet, and you're going to help me in this way. And
well,
now I'm able to help other people, which is really amazing.
Yes, which is thrilling for me to help each sensitive person understand how they function. And you were already open and you were already balancing yourself. Many times when I meet ultrasensitive, they feel like their sensitivity is a curse. They feel like it's a hindrance and a problem. And many, many that I meet wish that they could just shut it all down and not have to deal with it at all. But when I met you, Charlene, your sensitivity was starting to balance itself already.
And can you tell me why you feel that some people want to shut it off and then others like me are in more of that, you know, turning into the balanced, kind of excited mode? Because I felt like I was excited to learn.
You were.
More.
And are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. What happens with the ultrasensitive person that's blown wide open, there's no definition of what or where any information's coming from. If an empath is with in a group of people, they can be picking up in four or five people and not even have any sense of their own identity. There's no sense of, they're just in the middle of all their pain and holding all their pain and any pain of anything around them. It's like when they see a movie, it opens their pain. When they see someone in pain, just in daily life walking around, it reawakens their pain. So
and then when they're not aware of that is when they feel the uneasiness and the and whatever those feelings are, that energy that's going on around them, right?
Yeah. Yes, because there's no filter. There's no filter for them. Some of the ultrasensitives I meet, they have absolutely no filter at all, and they're just in pain. One of the ultrasensitives that I've known through quite a few years, and every time she sees an animal harmed in any way, whether it's in a movie, whether it's in a painting, a picture, no matter where it is, it reawakens all of the pain.
Wow.
So she might see an animal that's dead on the side of the road. And yes, it affects me. And when I see it, I will bless it, and send it on to its highest good. When she sees it, she has to pull off the road and just live with that pain for a few moments.
Wow.
And then carry.
Is that because there are things that this person needs to work on, that this person needs to, because I know that maybe sometimes people are afraid to even talk about the spiritual journey and subconsciously they don't even know that they're scared because of the unknown, right?
Yeah.
Because you're not
yeah.
really sure. And obviously the spiritual journey is very enlightening if you're aware of what's happening. If you do your work, as I've been doing with you too, if you're doing your work and you're becoming more aware and more mindful and you're becoming more open and authentic to who you are. And I think that there's so much more to that, but it's a little scary. And I guess that's another reason why some people want to turn it off, because they know that it's not ending anytime soon.
Yeah.
And it's not that that scariness isn't ending. It's just that they've realized that this journey goes on and on and on and on. But it doesn't have to be scary, right? And that's what you also are helping with as well.
Yes. Because, and to answer your question, there is a reason, a universal reason, a divine reason why they're going through that. They're stuck in that trauma, but even if they don't know it, they're stuck in that trauma. And every trauma that they see chips away at their trauma, because the system, all of our systems, always want to be healthy. We always want to be the best we can be, even when we don't know that that's the goal. That's like our divine goal, to be the healthiest. So when other people's trauma and other things affect us, make us angry, frustrate us, cause us pain, it's to help us to open up a pain inside us.
And then sometimes that pain just comes on its own, right?
Yes.
Without
yes.
even having any knowledge that you have some type of sensitivity. And then that is something that ends up opening up. And then once you open up, which is what happened to me, once you open up, then it gets a little bit easier every moment of the awareness, like every time something happens. And the more aware, I'm just speaking from my own life, is that every moment that I become more aware of whatever's happening, whether it's why I'm frustrated, why I feel a certain way, or what's happening today that I feel different than what just happened. And the more I become aware of it, the more I'm realizing more about myself, which is, yeah, on one hand, sometimes it is scary, because you realize things, right? You realize things that you could do better, or things that would be better for you, your heart, body, soul, nutrition, everything. And it does get scary sometimes, because you feel as though there's so much to do. But at the same time, I think once just being open about it and understanding that, yes, this is the type of sensitivity you have, you can work on those things, as I've been doing and as you've been doing throughout your life too, that makes it easier.
Yes, and it's also, it can get to the point
where it's fun and it's enticing,
yes,
and it's discovery, and it's like opening a new present every few days or every other
mm-hmm.
day. It's like discovering talents and gifts that are inside every individual. So that, yes, it's amazing. All my life I've taught, well, since in my 30s is when I really opened up professionally. And I was teaching, I was learning about my sensitivity, and I so believe that we teach what we need to know. And mm-hmm. I needed to know so much about my sensitivity that I drew ultra sensitives to me to help me understand myself while I was understanding them.
You know, you and I have been talking for a long time now, working together, and it's been amazing. It has been so fun. I think we talked about this in another episode too. It really is so fun, and life is supposed to be exciting and joyful and peaceful and all of that. But obviously, we're human beings. Everyone is going to go through different periods of their life of some type of trauma, some type of, you know, obstacles that they have to overcome. But I think what we're trying to do is to teach people to, one, just be who you are first and foremost, and try to find out, you know, yeah, what kind of sensitivities do you have? Who are you? Like, learn more about yourself. And I really like that you teach so much of that, is to really find out who you are, what you're about, what are these things that can really help you? What are these tools that can help you in every aspect of your life, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you have this huge, big, you know, career, whether you're a writer, whether you're a, you know, taxi driver, whatever it is, there's something and there's a purpose for everybody. And I think that's also, and that brings up a good point, because that's also something that I think that is hard for people to know. I think that's such a big question.
Yeah.
About purpose. And purpose, I mean, the spiritual journey comes into that. But sometimes people are scared to even find out their purpose, even when they want to know.
Yeah.
Even when they want to know, which is very interesting to me.
Yeah, because it's like it's too many people opening up that portion of themselves is very frightening, because it's the unknown. What is that going to do to me? How is that going to affect me? What if I find something inside myself that's awful or not something I want to see? And it's not about that, really. It's about all the wonderful things. And sometimes I think as human beings, we're more frightened of seeing the power and possibility in us than we are the things that we need to work on. Because in life, everything is something that, because it's the way life works, everything is something that can be understood and explored.
Right.
And so knowing that, and as a sensitive, it's like in this complex world of today, we need our intuition. Should we go in that direction? Should we connect with that person today? Should we make that choice in that new job? Well, what our intuition teaches us gently, it teaches us to know our inner self and what we internally, truly want and what choices we internally truly want to make. And so our intuition helps us to know which directions to go. It's
right.
Yeah. I just get really enthused about the potential in all of us.
I agree. Well, let's talk a little bit about the detailed versions of a structural and
a conceptual. Yeah.
A conceptual.
Yeah.
Sense of
yeah. Usually I found, and this is what I know so far on it, and I've been exploring this as long as I've actually been alive without knowing it the first few years that I was even exploring it. And that's true of everyone, that we're always exploring and gaining experience, even when we don't know we're gaining experience about the thing we're going to do. So with a structural, ultra-sensitive, and conceptual, we make that choice either structurally or conceptually, we make that choice, I feel, during puberty. And during that time of puberty, we've already generally kind of had a direction of what we're going to choose. Like one of the structural choices is usually some kind of sports, some kind of form that we choose to be a sports person or a person that has some kind of form or structure. And so there's a tendency, and usually this shows up in school about the time
right.
that we're in school, it comes in, or the structure can be in a debating team. The structure could be in the political system in school. The structural could be, like I said, in sports, but it could be in not just the physical ball game sports, but it could be other kind of sports, like running or you know, track, any of those kinds of things. So a structural person usually has a tendency to go towards the logical choices. A conceptual person is a person that does usually pushes away or doesn't want a lot to do or does not enjoy structure. They like logic in certain areas of their life, but it's not like the structural person that likes some kind of form. The conceptual person likes to create their own form, their own way. So usually in school, the conceptual person likes theater, likes art, likes more free form or a not a definitive choice. They want freedom. So the conceptual person, their way of experiencing the world is pretty much like the internet works. You go from one point of thought or idea to a new point of thought or an idea and to a new point. So that's a conceptual person. And a conceptual person does not like rules, regulations, does not like to be molded into any specific thing. They want to be their
now,
own.
Can,
go ahead.
Yeah, just a quick question. So then can somebody be both?
Yes, that's the ideal. That's the
yeah.
ideal. Is to be
well,
both.
And I'm not saying I'm the ideal whatsoever, but I know that growing up, I played basketball in school, and I loved it, and I loved going outside, and I loved sports, but also I loved being free, and I loved art, and I loved reading about all types of, nonfiction things. I read a
Exactly.
lot about astrology and numerology and all the stuff about planets, and I mean, I loved all of that kind of stuff too. So it was kind of all intertwined together for me. But as I'm growing older, I've become more conceptual.
Yeah.
So it's shifted for me.
Yes, and still you hold your structure though. You feel comfortable with a certain amount of structure, and now as an adult, you're choosing your structure more than
True.
one would in school. So yes, the healthy place to be is to be where you can fluctuate. I usually say dance between the two. Like whatever is needed in your life in the moment, structure or non-structure, that's what you manifest. That's what you create. But many people get stuck. Many ultra-sensitives get stuck in their conceptual or their structural. And that's what happens when we get in our rigidity, when we get in, whether it's rigidity in maybe politics, rigidity in religion, rigidity in anything in life, if we grab a hold of it to the exclusion, or almost the total exclusion of everything else, then that's when our private personal universe will force us into a choice to break that stuck place open. And that will put us into a relationship that isn't good for us to learn how to come into our own strength and our own sense of ourself. So our
So can we, let's do this. Let's give a tool as well to, and I'm just coming up with this off the top of my head, and you can let me know what
Great.
you think about it. So let's take out a piece of paper, and would I then start writing and say, okay, what are the structured things in my life? And I know
Yes.
sometimes it's hard to even look at your life and make those choices for yourself, but it's at least a good thing to try to do. So you make a list of all the structured things in your life, and you make the list of all the conceptual things that you, let's say, are more passionate about and are more free flowing about, and then see which one has more. And if you have somewhat of a balance, great, you can see what works and doesn't. Also, you can cut some things out, you can add some things in. And would that be a tool to give people to be able to see which one they are, or if they are balanced in both? And what would your idea be about that?
Yeah, that would be an excellent idea. That would be excellent because it's good to look at how your choices in life, and even I would recommend going back to school, and like you just did a few minutes ago, is go back and say, well, I played sports, I did this, but I loved art, I loved theater, I loved the artistic conceptual things to see what's happening in your life, so you can see of what kind of a balance. Is it a 60-40? Is it an 80-20? Is it a 9-10 balance of conceptual and structural? That would be an excellent tool, yes.
Just look at my life, right? And say structural would be right now at the moment, because kids are doing homeschooling because of all of the stuff happening with the coronavirus, structural for me is a schedule, is having a schedule and staying on top of a schedule to be able to have some sanity and time during the day. Okay. And then conceptual would be for me, even though it seems structural, and maybe it is, and this is why I want to ask this question too, because it is confusing for me as well. I know the artistic side and all of that stuff is the conceptual, but like I'm writing my book, for me, I feel is conceptual because it's a very free-flowing freedom and passion and just free-flowing for me. So for me, that's conceptual, and I don't know if that would be placed
that's
in the
correct.
Conceptual column.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then an absolute would be... Gosh, yes, you are correct. It's so hard.
It is.
An absolute, yeah.
Because mm-hmm. I feel like it's hard... for you and I, an absolute, but to me that would be a positive absolute.
Yes.
But then it isn't to follow the laws of the land. But that the minute I say that, yes, I believe in following the laws of the land, and yet there's times. When there's somebody jaywalking across the street, that absolute wouldn't apply.
Right. So then the way that I feel my absolute would be is more of an internal absolute,
maybe
I guess.
Moral, maybe a moral absolute.
A moral, yeah.
Or a divine absolute even,
yes.
Where it has some... To me, a divine absolute, it sounds like a dichotomy, but a divine absolute would be something that would be, you know, that it's something that, like, well, I don't even know that one. See,
well,
I have
so in my mind, I'm just thinking, and maybe it's too simple, but I'm thinking... that now, and of course, I'm still human. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but now that I have realized who I am, that's my absolute. My absolute is that I will not go backwards. My absolute is that I will continue on to be who I am. And when I make that absolute for me, it makes me stronger and have more courage and helps me more continue on with this journey in an exciting way, continue writing my book, continue doing the podcast with you, continue doing the work that we're doing. And like you said, it's all positive.
Yes, yes. Even when it's difficult and even when it's what I call shadow stuff, it's when I'm working on things that are a little harder for me to work on, harder to look at inside myself.
Yes.
Those are kind of shadow things, but as I work with them, I understand what they're there for, and then they come into the light. And not like I have everything resolved either. I have a lot of work to do. We always do when we're on this
planet. We always
do.
Yes. Yes. So true. Oh, this is so great. So great. I can't wait till our next podcast because I learned so much too. I mean, just talking and having a conversation, and I'm so happy that we've decided to share our conversations with everybody. I think that if I had this even before, like 10 years ago, it would have made such a huge difference in my life, but it all happened at the right time and divine time. So
I enjoy our conversations, and even though I have a lot of knowledge, there's always more that I can learn, and a fresh thought, your fresh thoughts, your fresh ideas open up new avenues inside me. So I love our conversations too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, until next time, I love talking to you, and we'll see everyone next time.
Sounds great.
Talk to everyone next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.